From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Claire Strempel with local and statewide news. Biologists say they're picking up the pace on genetics research to better understand the issue of salmon bycatch, and they hope their findings could be useful to managers making policy decisions about fishing in Alaska's federal waters. KDLL's Sabine Pooks has more.
Salmon stocks from up and down the Pacific coast congregate in the Gulf of Alaska and in the Bering Sea to feed. And that's also where trawlers go to harvest millions of pounds of pollock and other groundfish. And those trawlers often accidentally scoop up salmon and other fish in their nets too, a problem known as bycatch. Scientists with NOAA Fisheries want to trace where the bycatch is coming from so they can also understand the impacts of bycatch on specific stocks. That's especially true for salmon stocks in western Alaska, an area of the state that's seeing dismal salmon returns.
100% that's our focus for chum, given its overweighted importance to subsistence fisheries.
Wes Larson is a geneticist with NOAA Fisheries. His team analyzes and sequences the DNA of salmon samples coming off trawler vessels to estimate what portion of the salmon bycatch is coming from where. Geneticists have been using that technology for years. But now Larson says advancements are helping them do that analysis much quicker, which in turn could inform more up-to-date decisions from fisheries managers. Data from NOAA is an important source of information for the North Pacific Fishery Management Council, which manages fishing in Alaska's federal waters. And many of the trawl vessels that scoop up the most bycatch in Alaska are operating in those areas.
The narrative changes so much depending on if you have the genetic data or not, especially for the chum salmon.
The bycatch issue has generated a lot of concern in Alaska, particularly for the small boat fishermen who are impacted by decreased salmon stocks. Last year, the Federal Council took action on halibut bycatch in the Bering Sea, imposing limits on some trawl fleets based on halibut stock abundance. But it passed up a chance to place new rules on trawlers that catch salmon bycatch this summer, instead requesting new analysis from researchers. King salmon stocks are declining sharply across Alaska, as are chum salmon in western Alaska in particular, where the species is an important source of food for subsistence fishermen and their families.
If we use all of our data to understand where western Alaska stocks are, then we can help direct the fleet away from those stocks.
Previously, the program's taken as long as a year and a half to get genetic results back to biologists. Larson says today his team's using updated technology and automated tools to get that information into managers' hands much faster. Still, he says the answer's not as simple as telling one fleet to stop fishing at one time.
There's no easy solution. It's this really complicated problem of like fleet dynamics and like different boat types and their ability to move. And so there's definitely, you know, options, and that's what we're trying to do. But the question is, unfortunately, really complicated, which is why we're throwing so much data at it, I guess.
There are other factors at play in salmon declines as well. Scientists think one big culprit in some of those population changes is climate change. That was likely the biggest reason for the recent drastic drop in Pacific cod stocks, another species that Larson's team is monitoring. In Kenai, I'm Sabine Pooks.
The Homer-based company Salmon Sisters launched a line of apparel earlier this month that's getting a lot of attention. Hundreds of comments on social media have called their new clothing design cultural appropriation. KBBI's Desiree Hagen reached out to a few of the commenters and has this story.
Salmon Sisters is a small company founded over a decade ago by sisters Emma Teal Lukaitis and Claire Neaton. They have two retail stores in Homer and sell their products internationally through their website. They pride themselves on being conscientious. The brand's all-woman team sells boxes of wild halibut, sablefish, Pacific cod, and salmon. They also manage a clothing line marketed to women with designs inspired by coastal Alaska. Recently, the sisters partnered with a Montana-based company to produce a hooded, form-fitting tunic sided with blueberry pattern panels and retailing for about $170. Their ad shows a thin, light-skinned model picking berries. The dress is a play on a design the Montana company Euler has been making for almost 10 years. They refer to it as the Seaworthy and Blueberry Dress, but other people call it by a different name.
A lot of people know these quote-unquote dresses as cusbooks. That's the most used word. That's a Yupik word, but back in our area, we say atitluk.
That's Jackie Lambert. She's a Nupiak and goes by the handle Jackie with a Q on social media. She sees Salmon Sisters dress as part of a larger pattern of cultural appropriation.
You know, we've made all these inventions that in the past have always been recreated, and now they're common items like the ulu or the kayak or sunglasses even. The biggest thing is that they are stealing from us. They are stealing income from creators that literally live off of making these Atik looks.
Lambert took issue with how much she said the dress looks like gusbuks and Atik looks. A hooded overshirt with a large front pocket commonly worn by Alaska Native people. Hundreds of commenters criticized the Salmon Sisters for claiming it was their original design. Lambert says she wishes the Salmon Sisters use their platform to work with Alaska Native seamstresses who are currently creating these garments, and many other commenters agreed. Lambert was also upset at the Salmon Sisters' immediate response to that criticism. Comments accusing the sisters of cultural appropriation or pointing to similarities between their design and modern gusbuks were immediately deleted, which the Salmon Sisters later said was because their small staff was initially overwhelmed. But most of the comments received a lengthy cut-and-paste response. The Salmon Sisters declined a radio interview, but responded to the request with a revised version of that original response. They said, quote, "We hear your voices, and we are sorry for failing to recognize that our recent dress release appeared to be influenced or inspired by Alaska Indigenous gusbuk design without appropriate credit," end quote. Nicolette Corbett is a registered nurse, gusbuk maker, and teacher working out of Soldotna. She's the owner of So Yupik. That so is spelled S-E-W. She says sewing gusbuks is like therapy for her, and that wearing and creating them connects her to her Yupik culture.
Especially when I'm out berry picking and I'm using the gusbuks that my grandmothers they have created, I feel even more connected to my grandmothers in those moments while I'm out gathering.
Corbett says she's not sure the dress looks exactly like the gusbuks that her grandmother made. She said it would be interesting to have an elder's perspective on this. In the days following the dress's release, the Salmon Sisters changed the language on their product page saying, quote, "These dresses are meant to be multifunctional, versatile garments to dress up or down, wear outside or put to work. In these ways, they share similarities with the Alaska Native gusbuks," end quote. They posted resources for customers to learn more about gusbuks and Atik looks with links to work by Alaska Native artists on their website. They also pledged to donate proceeds from their Seaworthy and Blueberry dresses to SeaShare, an organization working to feed villages along the Lower Yukon River, where salmon runs are crashing. Maya Kadaklukin is the former mayor of Kotzebue and now works in Wasilla for the Park Service. She is a Nupiak. Her initial post criticizing Salmon Sisters' design went viral. Lukin says it's important to put these conversations in a cultural and historic context.
People don't understand what happened to Alaskans and, you know, our parents and grandparents who were taken to boarding school and punished for speaking our language and punished for wearing our traditional attire, which included Atik looks and kusbuk.
Lukin said the Salmon Sisters' design was, quote, absolutely cultural appropriation, but she was sympathetic to the sisters who made the mistake in such a public way. She believes it's important for both Indigenous people and non-Native allies to vocalize issues when they encounter them.
The best thing that we can do is educate people and speak up. People need to speak up for what's right, and what's right is understanding First Alaskans.
When pressed for further comment for this story, the Salmon Sisters responded saying, quote, "This is an opportunity for Salmon Sisters to respectfully listen and learn from Alaska's Indigenous voices." Reporting in Homer, I'm Desiree Hagen.
Kenai Peninsula Borough Chief of Staff Aaron Rhodes will leave the borough administration with his boss at the end of September, according to a memo from the borough's legal department uploaded this week. Rhodes has been the right-hand man to Borough Mayor Charlie Pierce since July 2021. Pierce announced his resignation last week, saying he needed to focus on his gubernatorial campaign. It's unclear why Rhodes is also leaving. He was previously the designated administrator for the office, meaning he would act as the interim executive in the event of a vacancy. Pierce hasn't responded to requests for comment about his own resignation. After allegations from a political blog, Kelly told reporters the borough hired an Anchorage law firm to perform a confidential human resources investigation this summer. He did not say whether that investigation had anything to do with Pierce or his resignation. Kelly says Pierce's resignation was voluntary. You're listening to KTOO News.